Hi, today is August 27th, 2016. This is Mobile Views 172, and that's about how many panelists we have today. we've got me, of course, Todd Gasawara. We've got my buddy John Westfall. And we've got
some
other friends. We've got return guests. All of them actually returning guests. Fen Johansson. Is this alphabetical? JKL. Yeah, Paul Lawler. And Don Sorsonelli. Or as I call, as some people call him, Sizzolini, I guess.
We're not sticklers for anything on here except alphabetical order. We must always respect that, apparently, toward the top.
Okay, so the first order of business is something I have not tried, and that's Pokemon Go. In fact, that's one of the reasons I asked Paul Lawler to join us, because Paul and John, I guess you two are the only two people I know of in this group that's actively or was actively playing Pokemon Go. So what's the case with you, John? Are you still playing?
Well, as I've told everyone, I don't necessarily play Pokemon Go. I play Pokemon Sanctuary. So that means that when I'm sitting somewhere, I open the app and I let them just come to me. And if they want to hang out with me, I feel that's fine. But I'm not all into the entrapment and kidnapping and fighting rings and all of that with the Pokemon. I just want some Pokey friends. So, but I will confess, I have not opened up the app in probably a week and a half or so. I haven't even been doing my Sanctuary thing lately.
And what level were you on?
I am a level 7, which 11-year-old schooled me a few days ago because she was already a level 17, and so I'm really slacking.
But you, my 12-year-old son would be all over you.
Yeah.
12-year-old son would be all over you, John.
But you know what? I can drive, so it levels out.
Okay, now, Paul, I think you are above level 7 or wherever John is.
I am. I'm almost level 24.
Wow.
Ha, you've got something on all those 12-year-olds.
Yeah. Now, Paul, I remember you were
late. He has a later curfew, John. Yeah, understand, he can stay up later.
And a car.
Yeah. Okay, so Paul, I remember you were playing. What was the predecessor to this? Google's the other Niantic thing.
Right. So Niantic, of course, was part of Google, and they developed Field Trip. And then, you know, the people who were doing Field Trip said, you know, nobody's downloading Field Trip. We should do something better. So they made a game called Ingress.
Oh, that's the one.
And then Ingress developed this huge backstory about aliens and invasions, and there were these two teams who both thought that they were out to save the world. And in the course of this, they got literally millions of people playing this game. So they got together with the Pokemon people and said, well, you know, we'd like to take Ingress to the next level, if you will, and create something with a little more popular appeal, hence Pokemon Go. I think they did not expect the level of popular appeal that they initially got.
And so are you, and now, what is it, about a month later or more? Are you still playing?
They started July 6th.
So we're about a month and a half.
And so we're about a month and a half into it.
And are you still playing the game?
Oh, I still play on a pretty much daily basis.
Really? That's interesting.
But I have to say that it doesn't have nearly the game elements that Ingress did in terms of a goal and teamwork and competition. Those pieces aren't really there in Pokemon.
It's just you got to catch them all.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know, you can't fight other people's Pokemon. You can't trade Pokemon. You can't do any of the things that would make it an interesting game in terms of actual gameplay.
So what do you think? Since you are actively going out, do you still see a lot of people out there searching for Pokemon? Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you drive past the aquarium anytime, day or night,
you
will see that those Pokestops have lures on them to attract Pokemon, and there are anywhere between 50 and 300 people sitting there.
Really?
24 hours a day.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
So here's my question about that. I'd heard about businesses using the lures to kind of drum up business and get people to their areas for that. And I'm just curious, you say 24 hours a day, who's dropping the lures at 3 in the morning? Because there's no business open at that point.
Right. So anybody can buy lures. Mm-hmm. I think in 8-packs, they end up costing about 69 cents a piece. So
it's cheap.
If there's 100 people there,
yeah,
most of them have lures, and they'll just take turns dropping them.
So there is some teamwork. Half an hour.
Well, yeah, minimal.
Yeah,
but
it sounds
really
like dropping lures. Can I ask? Dropping lures someplace at 2 in the morning sounds like a step above Waffle House. in terms of what might be drawn out there, who's going there at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning in some of these places? I don't know.
Well, apparently there are guys like with those late curfews.
Wow. Well, you know, on a darker note, I was reading that I think 2 people in Japan so far have died playing Pokemon. One was hit while riding a bicycle and searching for something, and I forget how the first one is, but it's still pretty popular, I guess. And I guess the problem is if you have a very addictive or if you're prone to addiction games, it can be pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and that guy just taking selfies. So.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that's.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, one interesting thing has been that Niantic, because they didn't expect this kind of reaction, was totally unprepared. You know that television commercial that says, oh, what if 10,000 people download the app? We're good. What if 5 million download it? We're good. What if 30 million download it? We're not good. We're total heroes. These guys are not total heroes. Yeah. In fact, Amazon famously, tongue-in-cheek, offered them S3 server space to keep the game up and running.
They should have taken them up on it, as I recall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so. I'll be honest with you. My son, last week, we went down to the city here in Boston, and he plays. And he's very adept not only at playing the game, but identifying others who are walking around. He can spot them and right. Say, I know they're playing. And the number of people walking around Boston, you know, playing was just ridiculous. It was amazing. And like you said, it's a month, you know, it was a month and a half into this, and it's not kids. I mean, there's more adults sometimes where I've been going than there are kids playing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Ars Technica has an article, How Long Can We Expect the Pokemon Go Craze to Last, which I will link in our show notes. And I don't know the answer to, like, it's still doing pretty well.
The original Pokemon came out in 1995.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people who were 10, 11, 12 then are now adults, right? And
right.
So
yep.
they're nostalgically remembering the fun they had playing it on their Game Boy back in the mid-90s. And so, like you said, a lot of the people playing it are adults and not young kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, anybody else playing? John, you said you were. I know Paul, of course, you are. I'm not. Don? Sven?
No.
I've been gracefully eliminated from being able to, being a Windows Phone user. They have saved me from this.
Well, that said, Sven has one of everything. So if he wanted to, he could fire up his Android phone. And
I mean, Sven, that's an excellent, excellent case of cognitive dissonance, actually. Of just, no, I didn't actually want to play it anyway to begin with. So I'm happy that they didn't bring up the Windows phone.
I'm in shrunk here.
Okay.
Although I did notice last week.
You know, my son has been playing with it. And now when I say that, I mean a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
So I've got grandkids that are, you know, 15. So, but he wanted to know what it was like. So he came over and borrowed a phone and got it all set up. And I know they've been out playing with it. But just, you know, you have to go outside. Like John says, you have to go outside, sort of. You know, that's not me.
Yeah. Well, I usually like to go to restaurants that are near the outside. You know, places with sidewalk cafes and stuff. So, Pokemon come near.
On my deck, you know, something like that.
Okay.
But it is a cup deck, so it's, you know.
Okay, now before I forget, I know Sven uses a little everything, mostly Windows Phone. John is an iPhone user. Don, you've moved over to Android, as I recall.
Well, actually, I've been working with, I work with all of them on a daily basis. So my primary driver lately has been sort of between Android and iPhone.
Okay.
Lately, but yeah, I still use all of them regularly.
Okay, and Paul, I don't know what you're using these days.
I use both Android and iPhone.
Okay, and I'm the same. So, okay, so between us, we've got everything covered. Next up, and speaking of covering things, Android. So Nougat, which is Android 7.0, is supposed to be out as of, what, this past week? Although I've seen neither hide nor hair of it on my Nexus 6. Nor do I expect to for a number of weeks. I think it's probably going to be amongst the last of the officially upgraded phones to get it. But who posted? I think Don posted why Android 7.0 won't officially come to the Snapdragon 800-801. Why is that, Don? I didn't even read the article.
There were a few technical reasons why. The interesting thing is, you notice if you read, you know, the title of the article is "It won't officially come." Mm-hmm. You may see it obviously in customized builds, whether it be Cyanogen mods or something from XDA developers. But it comes back to the same thing. It's just another variation on the fragmentation theme with Android. In this case, there's some very specific technical reasons why, from an optimization standpoint in some cases, support standpoint in other cases, that the 800-801 isn't quote-unquote optimal. Whether or not that's a 100% valid excuse or reason or whatever you want, I guess it's, you know, it's just a side effect of all this different hardware from all these different OEMs and ODMs. And, you know, it just seems to me it's the thing that's starting to wear on me the most as an Android user I feel like I've been transported back 10 years ago to the same problems we had with Windows Mobile back in the day.
So is a Snapdragon 800-801 in sort of mid-range Android devices, or is that it was kind of underpowered devices, or is it some other?
I think I'm trying to remember everything in the article. I'll be honest with you. It's, as we record this, it's a little late in the evening. It's been a long couple of days for me. I can't remember all the technical reasons why that the answers were why they were slightly in the compared to latest spec devices. You'll say it definitely is. It's not one of the higher powered in the Snapdragon line, but you know, there's been, I guess, basically, you know, that they're saying it's old. The functionality makes it kind of old,
and
in the end,
even amongst the Nexus devices, which are, I'm sorry, what is that, Sven?
Yeah, I did read the article here just recently. Yeah, when I saw it on the list here, and a lot of what they were talking about was security features. That full disk encryption and file encryption.
Oh, might be too slow for that.
The requirements for Android really wanted to push that, and the older processor didn't have the capability of doing it the way it wanted. So,
yeah, and you know,
it made the point that you could get Nougat, you know, some hackers could, or hobbyists, let's put them that way, could fix it up for the older devices, but it wouldn't be an official Google sanction thing.
And, you know, quite honestly, if you're running Android, you shouldn't expect to get much in the way of upgrades, because officially, Google's support people say that Nexus devices are not guaranteed upgrades after 2 years. So unlike Apple devices, which, you know, you can buy, you can have a 3 or 4 year old device and maybe get an upgrade. Like, I think my iPad 2, which came out in 2011, got upgrades all the way through 9. It's not going to get 10, but it got it all the way through 9 last year. So it supported from 2011 to 2015, which is pretty impressive. That's 4 years.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting because I think the way it's written, the way Google states it, is we won't guarantee anything after 2 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's 2 years now. The only problem I have with the two-year limit was, even a few years ago, 2 years, when we just talked about processor and new generation technology at the hardware level, I mean, 2 years really was a lot of obsolescence. There tended to be such a big turnover in terms of what feature sets for the operating system versus the hardware was. I mean, in 2016, we're starting to reach that point where 2 years still has a lot of value in a lot of the hardware that's being pushed out. It's sort of like what we're seeing, what we've seen in the PC world, whether it be desktops or laptops, with lack of obsolescence with the newer hardware. I think we're starting to see it in phones. So while they say 2 years, my hope is that they're not just, you know, their arbitrary line in the sand is based on something that we all consider to be for granted, you know, just a couple of years ago.
Well,
they're saying 2 years is the cutoff.
Right. Yeah. I'll say this. You know, I've had a Nexus 1, a Nexus 4, and a tablet Nexus 7, no relation to the upcoming Nexus 7 phone. And all of them stopped getting upgrades after about 2 years. So I think Google's pretty consistent at that. You know, they say maybe it's something dramatic, a security problem, they'll update it. But other than that, you're kind of out of luck for the major upgrades after 2 years.
Yeah, I do agree. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see as the hardware continues to progress if they maintain that or not. It again, we just saw with the 800, 801, as you were talking about, there may be certain features that they can't take full advantage of.
Yeah.
It's a little bit disconcerting, you know, especially when we're still paying premium prices for hardware. It's not, you know, for higher end hardware, and to say higher end hardware is dead after 2 years.
Yeah, and the two-year thing is especially problematic, you know, if you don't buy a device as soon as it comes out. So, for example, I bought my Nexus 6 about 10 months into its life cycle. And, you know, I know it was stupid because I knew the Nexus 6P was coming out, but I wanted to get on Google Fi as soon as possible, and the only way to do that was to go buy a new phone for it, since I didn't have a phone supported by Google Fi. So, you know, having had my Nexus 6 only, let's say, 13 or 14 months when Nougat becomes available for it, that'll be its last upgrade. So I'll essentially get one upgrade on my phone. Don't know if I'll buy a Nexus 7 yet. I may wait for next year's Nexus 7P, or whatever they call it, refresh cycle. And you know, the other thing I noticed just today, actually, or yesterday, is that I like to watch Android's fragmentation problem.
Because you just like watching things burn.
That's right. And so, you know, every now and then I go to Google's Android developer dashboard, which has a nice pie chart showing the percentage of various versions of Android that are touching the Google Play Store, you know, which is a good metric to see how many active devices are running what version of Android. And usually it's updated pretty regularly, like every day, every couple of days. But when I visited last, it had not been updated since August 1st, and I'm trying to figure out why. I don't know why, but it's kind of interesting. Maybe they got so burned by fragmentation, they just decided to stop advertising their own problem.
Are you trying to segue into conspiracy views here right now?
But
well, I just figured the guy who maintains it went on vacation for the summer.
Don, I think that you're trying to segue into us telling you need to get a pokey friend going for Waffle House since it's retired already, and it's only a little past 10 o'clock your time. So we're all trying to pilot our own segues.
No, I think my 5X actually got Nougat. And the reason I say I think it did is because it got some kind of an upgrade that seemed like it was, but both the 6 and the 5X were on the developer preview anyway.
Okay.
So, but the 6 didn't get the same thing the 5X did, so...
This is conspiracy views. Sven doesn't even know what software is running on his device at this point because they've taken it over and have pushed him.
I could go get the number off. But, you know, I've been reasonably impressed by Google lately. I mean, every month I get a security update on my various things.
That's true. And,
you know, that's kind of nice. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, that's true.
Two years bad at the same time.
Because you don't even have it paid off in 2 years, usually. You know.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to getting Nougat on my Nexus 6 because, you know, it's got a relatively large screen as phones go. And it'll have that split screen thing. So that's
It is really nice on that. I mean, I've got the developer preview on it, and it's I got to say Google's developer preview is way more stable than Windows Insider. sadly. But yeah, on a 6-inch screen, that actually makes sense. I wish I could get it on a Nexus 7, but that's not happening.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on Nexus. Well, there will be a Nexus 7, it just won't be the one you and I have.
Yeah, it won't be. It won't be this perfectly sized tablet here. This one has no battery in it anymore. It decided to get old and fat like me. So.
Well, my first-gen Nexus 7 actually still works. It's a little sluggish, but I turn it on every now and then and, you know, run the app updater on it. And of course, there's no system update ever, but it still runs.
But my second generation, I had two of them. One of them, the battery just died.
Yeah.
I picked it up, and I had light coming out from the side, you know, so bulked up.
Oh, literally died.
Yes, yeah. Literally. So... Okay. So it was working, but, you know, it was poofed out. And I figured I didn't,
interesting.
Didn't really want that sitting on my bedside.
I have a first gen Nexus 7, and I have the Nexus 5 for phones, and both of those are still running, but only because I swapped over to Cyanogen on both of those to get a little bit more life out of them. And they actually do perform. The problem was last builds of Android died. they killed both devices, but Cyanogen worked better.
Oh, interesting. Okay, and the one of the last set of topic items is pointed at iOS and this recent 9.3.5 upgrade, which deals with a zero-day exploit. Everybody running an iPhone or iPad upgrade to 9.3.5 yet? I think I've upgraded most of my stuff, but not everything.
I loaded
mine this morning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, this one was kind of a nasty because apparently it was three exploits that were used to put some really sophisticated spyware on a dissident's phone. So
Not to segue into conspiracy views, but I understand that some foreign governments actually purchased this spyware.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes it even more interesting, right? So what do you guys think?
It's great that a government is actually making money, you know, legitimately, rather than stealing it from their people. You know?
So one of the items that John posted in our show notes is are we going to see a more rapid iOS security patching from now on? We have seen quite a few recently, and we're not heading towards 10.
What I point out with this is 9.3.5 patched three things according to the release notes. And, of course, we don't know how many other possible things might be in there because Apple does put that they won't tell you that they've patched it until the investigation's finished. So there could be more things in 9.3.5. But 9.3.5, as it says now, patches three things. 9.3.4 patched one thing according to release notes. And 9.3.3 patched nearly 30 things. So it certainly seems like Apple has started, especially with their bug bounty program that they've started to roll out, it's really appealing to people to report things to them. It seems like they are not afraid of starting to release small security patches versus bunching things as they did in the past.
Yeah, I think the most recent one, 9.3.5, is because the exploit was so hairy, you know. And mm-hmm, so yeah. Well publicized that they had to do something about it. Really, it's one problem, even though it's three patches.
We had a case up here, and as a matter of fact, in our my hometown here, where they're still thinking that it might have actually been related to this, where there was a quote unquote a kidnapping ruse that was done, and both the husband and the wife had iPhones, and they had made it appear that when they were trying to dial, when the wife was trying to dial because the husband, oh, actually it was the other way around originally. The husband thought the wife was kidnapped, but he tried to call her and they said, oh, we've got her. We've got her phone right now. When in fact they had intercepted the call.
Huh.
It was pretty sophisticated and they're still investigating the whole thing. But yeah, when you look at what, I guess they codenamed it Pegasus. This was some pretty sophisticated stuff. They could jailbreak, and then what they installed basically could intercept and reroute just about anything, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was about as nasty as it gets.
Right, and not to make light of this, but if I recall correctly, Pegasus was also the code name for Windows CE 1.0.
Todd, I hate to tell you, same software. It does make you wonder, though. I mean, we talk about the 0 days with iOS because apparently all the good dissonants out there are running iOS. But it makes me wonder, Android, if Android has more 0 days because it's a more open platform that people have had chance to play with, or actually if it has less 0 days because of the fragmentation issue and because you're not exactly sure what you're going to be executing your software on.
There's something to be said for that, actually.
Because so many people are looking at it.
Personally, I just recommend that all criminals and political dissidents go to Windows Phone because, you know, there might not be as much malware out there for that.
That's kind of interesting, actually. That's an interesting thought. And by the way, if you recall, in that alternate universe where Hawaii Five-O lives, in the first season, or was it the second season? I think it was the first season. All the good guys use Windows phones and Surface RT, and all the bad guys use Android phones. So there is that, you know, more conspiracy views. But in that universe, at least, that's how it worked out.
Sounds legit to me. I don't know how much work they got done on Windows RT, but, you know, apparently they did.
Okay. Well, obviously, at least for us, for the stuff we're interested in, it was a pretty slow news week. So before we close out, let me ask, so, you know, Sven and Paul are the two people I know who buy pretty much every darn gadget out there. And who I usually ask, hey, what's new? So let me ask Sven first. What have you bought that's new that I will drool after?
I've been pretty laid back here recently, but I did get a 65-inch TV and an Xbox One S.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know why I got an Xbox One S. I'm not a gamer. But they didn't have one.
It's the grandkids, right? It's the grandkids.
Oh, no, they're in Seattle. So.
Is it a 4K TV?
I'll tell you the real reason is I've been wanting one for a long time. I have no need for it. But the 4K TV I actually bought from Dell and got a $300 gift card.
Wow.
And I used that $300 gift card to buy the Xbox from Dell. They sell them, so I thought, gee, that'd be fun.
Is this one of those HDR TVs also?
I don't recall that it's HDR, but it's 4K.
Okay. Because the 1S is, right? Or not?
Yeah. No, it is.
Xbox One.
It does support HDR video out, right? So
yeah.
That'd be pretty nice if we're on it. Okay. And are you going to buy anything upcoming? For example, anything that Apple releases? Or are you going to get one of those new Chromebooks that supports Android apps or anything like that?
I would really like one of those. Be interesting.
Yeah.
Don't know. Wife is kind of going back and forth on whether she wants to upgrade her iPhone. Not sure yet. Because, of course, we don't know what the new iPhone is. We have 3,000 rumors, but...
Well, you know, whatever it is, it'll be the newest, best iPhone ever.
Yeah, but the one thing that seems to be solid is that the headphone jack goes away.
That's bothering. You know, John and I have been talking about that off and on, and it still bothers me, but... You know, I have suffered through the loss of floppy drives, the loss of optical discs, the loss of serial ports and parallel ports, and I guess I'll support this loss too.
No. So okay. I'm sure you'll be able to buy a $20 adapter.
Yeah. Or $29.95. Let's get that right. Okay, Paul, so, what have you bought that I will drool on?
Well, sadly, and I think I have to blame Sven for costing me this, but I bought the Star Trek communicator.
Oh, no, that's John. John bought that
one. Yeah, that's John. Okay. I have the communicator, and have you been having fun with it?
I have been having fun with it. But it's I've discovered addictive. That people have to be of a certain age.
Yeah.
To appreciate it?
Yes.
Or to know what it is.
To know what it is. But I did get this. And so this is a combination. It's called a Hushu.
Oh, yeah, I've got one of those. They're great.
So it's a combination wireless router and charger. And USB port and Ethernet adapter. It's great when I was traveling because I could charge my phone and use the Wi-Fi off my phone and bridge it all at the same time.
Yeah. And you can also stick an external storage on it and access it from your mobile device, which is kind of neat. It's like a mobile NAS or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Actually, you actually bought something I have. I'm kind of shocked. Not something I have to run out and get because I already have it. But yeah, you're right. But you know what's interesting is on my last trip to London, I don't think I had to pull out my USB battery charger once, which surprised me. Both the Nexus 6 and iPhone, which was in airplane mode. You know, I did have Wi-Fi turned on so I could get GPS location. But both devices lasted all day. It was pretty shocking.
I wish that was here.
Wi-Fi for GPS.
Well, I'm not playing Pokemon. Right. I mean, who was it? Was it Jack or Don that saw a kid with a backpack with a solar panel on it playing Pokemon? I forget who it was.
Wasn't me.
Okay, it must have been Jack, our friend Jack Cook. But yeah, he's somewhere out in the Northeast. You know, some kid. Some adventurous kid was playing Pokemon with a tablet, I think, and had a backpack battery pack with a solar panel on the outside of his battery pack charging the charger. So that's what you need.
I have one of those.
That's what you need. Well, you know, our mutual friend Ryan Ozawa, he's went back in the days when live streaming was an unusual thing to do, and he used to live stream from his full-size notebook. He'd have a battery pack on his back, sort of, you know, irradiating his back and warming it up in the hot Hawaiian weather, so just to keep the live stream going. So that's what you need.
Actually ordered a backpack from it was an Indiegogo thing, so who knows if I'll ever get it or not. But it's a backpack that has a battery in it, and then it has connectors in every pocket.
I saw a shaving kit at. Not a shaving kit. Yeah, it's a travel kit, right? A shaving travel kit at Sam's Club that had a USB battery charger inside so you could charge your phone as you shave. And then, of course, I thought, wait a minute, you're going to put this near water? This is a bad idea. But they were selling it. People are sticking batteries in everywhere.
So a long time ago for my Apple IIc, I had this case. Apple IIc ran off 12 volts. It had 2 6-volt sealed lead acid batteries in it that you could run the Apple IIc off. And they actually had a little LCD screen.
Wow.
That was god awful. It was as wide as the IIc, but only about 4 inches tall. So everything was smushed down. But you could run your Apple IIc completely remotely. You mean out sitting on the hood of your.
Right. That's kind of amazing because that would predate the first notebooks, right?
Yep. Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Well, what was an Apple IIc? About 8 pounds?
Yeah, I was about 12 with that setup. But yeah, no, it wasn't that heavy.
Yeah, considering it was a desktop, it wasn't heavy.
Brick on the that was the power supply.
Yeah.
So. But no, I think it was about six pounds, something like that. It was the thin one. It's really a nice little device.
Okay. Well, anybody have anything to plug or want to mention before we get ready to sign off? I have.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go fund so I can buy an HP X3. So. That seems like a neat device.
Yeah, they're a bunch of. I personally am just waiting for the next generation of Chromebooks to come out that run to Android apps, because I figure they're going to put something a little bit nicer than the current gen. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think is it Best Buy or Amazon has one of the Asus ones for about $150 right now.
That runs.
That should run the Android apps once they get. It's not one of the ones in the preview, but it's one of the ones that will.
Right. Yeah. There's a long list that runs it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, my mother, who is 85, just got a Chromebook, and she loves it.
Wow.
Yeah, I do have one. I fire it up periodically, and it's impressive the amount of stuff it does. I think, you know, if I didn't have a Surface 3 sitting next to me on my, you know, easy chair, it would do everything that I do with the Surface 3. You know, I look at the web, order stuff from Amazon, triage mail. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, for most of the stuff we do these days, you know, an iPad or a Chromebook is just fine. There's that, you know, 5, 10, 15% of stuff we do, like recording a podcast using Skype, that you still can't do on those kind of devices. But, you know, if you don't need to do those, you know, those kind of edge case things, for most people, they're perfectly fine, I think.
Yeah, mine is a big HP thing, so It's a little ridiculous. It's like a 3-pound thing, but, you know, that does very little. But you know, if it was a pound and a half thing that did that, I'd be thrilled with it.
Okie dokie. Alrighty then. So this has been Mobile Views Podcast number 172. John Westfall and I had our very special guest, Sven Johansson, just finished speaking. Paul Lawler, Don Sorcinelli. It's good talking to you all. Thanks for joining us. Especially since I had nothing really to talk about. It was good to have you all to think of things to say. Okay, we'll talk again.